For that last song where it talks about our hope is in you, Lord. You know, he's the only one that we have that can help us in our time of need without fail. And our series in the family this month has been Hope for the Home. And I am thankful that we have hope. You know, as we read the scripture reading in Psalm 78 about about our children setting their hope in God. You know, we as parents, we need to hope in God. We need to show them that they too can set their hope in God because He is good. He is faithful. This morning we're going to be looking at this topic of hope for hurting parents. Hope for hurting parents. And just a little bit of some personal story about this. And you know, shortly after our five kids were born, we dedicated each one to the Lord. And I would encourage you parents to do that as well. I know some churches will have like a baby dedication Sunday or something, but you know, I think it should just be when you feel led of the Lord, bring your child to the altar at the end of the service when we have the invitation and dedicate that child to God. And really, it's just recognizing that that child is a gift. It's a gift from God to you, and you're to be a steward of that child. And I can remember all five of our children, we did that very thing. Usually, as soon as they were right after they were born in church, we would take them to the front and dedicate them to God and say, God, we recognize these children belong to you, and help us to raise these children. And so we dedicate ourselves to this task of raising our children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's a daunting task, really. I mean, because there's so many things working against parents today. There's this chaotic culture around us that's pulling us away from the Lord and totally anti-God. And then there's sin nature, both in parents and in children. And then, like we talked about last week, there's a war going on. There's a spiritual undertow taking place. And so it's not an easy task. It can very easily become hopeless for parents. But as parents, when we were starting out with our kids, we believed and we were taught this, that a godly home would produce godly children. And so we set ourselves out to raise our kids for the Lord. Our first four kids, they started kindergarten at Dalhart Christian Academy as I was pastoring in Dalhart at Liberty Baptist. And later, all five of our children, we were homeschooling our kids on the road of deputation, preparing to go to Ghana. And then when we were in Ghana, all of our kids were Christian homeschooled. And the last three were able to go to school here in Dumas and graduate Dumas High School. But I just want to say our kids, they were raised in a godly environment. They never missed church. Not just because I was the pastor, but it's just something that we believe was important as parents, that our kids should be in the house of God. If I'm going to teach my kids to put their hope in God, then they need to see that he's important to me. They need to see that I value God. And if church is hit and miss for you families, listen, your kids are not going to value what you don't value. And so it's very important. But we raise our kids, and you know, it wasn't like we would depend on the church, Sunday school, or the Christian school to raise our kids and to serve God. Though those definitely had that purpose, we also taught them on our own in the home. We would teach them about character. We would teach them about when life situations. I'll tell you some of the best lessons I think our kids probably learned were not in family devotions, but just when they faced a crisis in their life or there was a problem in the home or maybe a blessing that we got as a family, we would talk about it. We would tell our kids about it. Look what God did. God did this for our family. And or in time of need, we would pray. And we say, we need to go to God. And we did that. But I want to say, we were not perfect parents. And there are no perfect parents. We had our share of irritations with each other. We had our share of outbursts of anger, just like all of you. I mean, we all have those frailties of the flesh. But I want you to know this, and God knows my heart, we loved our kids. And we purpose in our hearts to help them to serve the Lord in whatever vocation He would call them. And we long for them to do well in life and to love the Lord with all of their hearts. But I want you to think about this, that there are a lot of parents just like us. And I've been around the country in my 29 years of ministry. I've been in a lot of churches, around a lot of Christians, a lot of other missionaries and other pastors and those in ministry. And I have found that there are a lot of hurting parents. There are a lot of parents that have been hurt because their children had become wayward. Their children didn't serve the Lord, even though they sacrificed to raise their children to that end. They did everything that they knew to do that. And I just want to say my kids are not bad kids. They're precious kids to me and my wife. They're very precious, and they're gifted. And I'm so thankful for my kids. But you know, when our kids make wrong choices, when our kids do not follow Jesus faithfully, it can be heartbreaking. It can hurt. And this is what happens. This is what happens to a parent that really is serious about raising their kids for the Lord, sacrificing, doing everything they can, and they don't serve the Lord. What happens is there's feelings of guilt. The parent feels like, maybe I failed as a parent. Or even worse, there's bitterness against the children, or there's bitterness against God. And I'll confess that I have experienced the bitterness. I've experienced that. I mean, bitterness, not just with my kids, but with God. Bitterness. But I thank God that God is gracious. I thank God that He helped me through that bitterness and to overcome it. And I learned some things through this, and I learned through this trial that as a father, to put my hope in God and not in my children. That's what I've learned. To put my hope in God, not in my children. Because no matter how good of a parent I may be, ultimately it comes down to God working in the hearts of our children. And this is something I've learned that I believe will help every parent here. And that is this. A godly home does not guarantee godly kids. A godly home does not guarantee godly kids. But a godly home can lay the foundation for the grace of God that alone can produce godly kids. This is a big truth. I'm telling you, this is big. And I want you to look in Proverbs 22, verse 6. This is going to be our text this morning. And we're going to see that a godly home does not guarantee godly kids. But a godly home will give a foundation for the grace of God that alone can produce godly kids. This is a very popular verse. This is a very well-known verse when it comes to parenting. I remember learning it very early in my Christian parenting life. This was something that I heard preached a lot. And that's why we had that belief that if we have a godly home, our kids are going to be godly. And let's look at it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, we're so grateful once again for your faithfulness. So grateful for what you've done for us in sending your son Jesus to die in our place for our sins. We're so grateful for your grace, for the gospel. Lord, there's no way any of us could please you apart from the gospel, apart from what Christ has done for us. There's no way that we can raise children to serve you without your grace. Lord, we need you. And Lord, I confess my need of you today to bring this message. Lord, please help me. And I pray for your grace on the hearers, that you would give them ears to hear, give them understanding. Lord, help them not to be distracted this morning, but to focus. Even if they're not parents, Lord, this is something they can learn, I know, to hope in you and you alone. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says here, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So doesn't this teach us? Doesn't this promise that kids who are raised in a godly home will turn out godly? You know, that's what a lot of preachers have preached. That's what I have believed. That's what I thought. But I want you to listen to what one parent lamented about this. They said, that's not been our experience at all. Our college-age son walked away from his faith a year ago and started engaging in some extremely destructive behaviors. Now his younger sister seems to be following his footsteps. We're in a Christian family, and we've always tried to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Where did we go wrong? I'll tell you what, that story is so common. That is so common. So many parents have asked that question. Where did we go wrong? And the reason why they're asking that question is because they're looking at this verse, this proverb, as a promise instead of a proverb. We got to understand proverbs are proverbs. And it's not a promise, okay? I was reading about it, and Dr. Craig Bloomberg, he defines a proverb like this. By nature, proverbs are not absolute promises from God that guarantee the promised outcome if one follows them. Rather, they point out patterns of conduct that, if followed, give one of the best chance of success. So I want you to know what he said. They're not absolute promises that guarantee the outcome if we follow it, but it does point out, it's like a principle, that if we follow this, we're most likely to succeed in it. And so many godly parents, they've taken this verse as a promise, but then they find out their teenager rebels, or they have a child that's a young adult that walks away from the faith, and they're shaken to the core, and they're asking these questions. Where did we go wrong? Why did God allow this to happen? Why isn't God faithful? And so this verse has often been looked at as a promise instead of a proverb. But considering what a proverb is, as we looked just a moment ago, God does not promise us, guarantee us, that if we teach our children about God and his ways, that if we raise them to love him, they're going to grow into godly, responsible adults. Though it is far more likely that if we do, they have a better chance of following the Lord than not. So we really need to take to heart. I don't want you to think that we're disregarding this instruction. There's instruction here for us. It's wise. These are wise counsels given by Solomon. These are wise principles for us to follow. But what I'm trying to do is prevent you from getting hurt. Because if you have children right now that are real little, and children that have not been owned up to really rebel and run off or go in their own way, then this can help you down the road when you get to that place. Because you'll realize that your godly parenting does not guarantee godly kids, because they have a sin nature. There's a real devil out there that is trying to get their heart. And so you have to be aware of these things. And I like what one pastor, he wrote. He said, reading a proverb as a promise can lead to heartache and doubt. Understanding it as a general rule for life can point us toward wise decision making. So that's what I want you to get about this verse. I want you to see that, because there are so many parents that experience grief and bitterness because of their misunderstanding of this verse. And I'm going to talk about three things that when parents misunderstand this principle of this verse, when they misunderstand the truth that godly parenting does not guarantee godly kids, this is what happens. Number one, needless guilt in the parent who worked hard to raise their kids for God. That's what happens when you have this belief. And I know, because I'm sharing this from my own personal experience, that I believed it with all my heart. I believe that, you know, if we do all the right things, if we raise our kids in a homeschool, if we put them in a Christian environment, we raise them up in church, we have prayer together, we have family devotions together, we give them godly counsel, we pour them in the right direction, that our kids are going to serve God. Listen, we don't have any guarantees. When we believe that, it causes needless guilt in the parent. There are some things we need to recognize when this is the case. We need to recognize that a godly home is a foundation. It's a great start. It's our responsibility, but it's no guarantee. It's a foundation, and we need to provide that foundation. We need to do everything we can to prepare for our kids to succeed and serve God and love God. We need to do that with all of our heart. But let's not look at these things as guarantees. Another thing we need to recognize is that wayward and rebellious children can happen to the best of families. I've seen this throughout my ministry. I've seen it with godly men, pastors, and wives that have had kids. Sometimes from the same home, you'll have one child that will go and serve God, and then you'll have another that rebels against God. How do you explain that? You don't. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 1, if you would turn there. In Isaiah chapter 1, God is speaking here through the prophet Isaiah. And here in verse 2, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord had spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I mean, think about it. There's no perfect father except for the one that's in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. He's a perfect father. He's a good father, a good father. But here he says, I have nourished and raised up children that have rebelled against me. So understand this, parent. I mean, before you heap so much guilt upon yourself that you failed, remember this, that rebellious children happens even to the best of parents, the best of homes. It even happened to God himself. You know, I've understood a lot of things about myself and about God in raising my kids. Because sometimes I would go to God and pray and say, Lord, this child is being hard and this child is causing me much grief. And he's like, yeah, just like you're causing me a lot of grief with your sin, with your rebellion. Okay, all right. You know, I'm telling you, we can learn so much in parenting. You know, if you go to the book of 2 Kings, you don't have to turn there, but if you were to read through 2 Kings about all these kings and this principle that we're talking about here, this principle of rebellious children can happen to the best of families. I want to just give you some examples. King Jehoshaphat, he was a very godly king, and he reigned for 25 years. But his son, Jehoram, was a wicked king who ruled for 8. And his son, Ahaziah, he ruled 1 year. He was also wicked. But his son, Joash, was a godly king, a godly man. He ruled for 42 years. And his son, Amaziah, was a godly king. He ruled for 29 years. And his son, Uzziah, was a godly king, ruled 52 years. And his son, Jotham, was a godly king. He ruled for 16 years. But his son, Ahaz, was a wicked king who ruled for 16 years. But his son, Hezekiah, loved God for 29 years. But his son, Manasseh, was one of the most wicked ever and ruled for 55 years and had a wicked son, Amnon, who ruled for 2 years. But his son was one of the most godly of them all, Josiah, who ruled for 31 years. So I want you to think about this. Think about it. We see some godly homes here, godly men that had ungodly and wicked children. And then I think about this truth, that as a parent, you can have a lot of influence on your kids. You really can. But this is something that's very humbling to think about. You cannot change a child's heart. You cannot change their heart. You have absolutely no power. No power whatsoever. I mean, yeah, you might be able to control their behavior. You might be able to make them do what they need to do while they're at home. But listen, when they leave the home, that's when the real test comes. That's when the real test comes. You have no power to change their heart. You have no power to change their life. Here's another principle to recognize, or this truth. Recognize children are responsible for their own actions and choices. Children are responsible for their own actions and choices. If you'll look in Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel, the prophet, in chapter 18, verse 20, I want you to listen to what Scripture says here. The soul that sinned, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all the sins that he had committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he will surely live and shall not die. And so what is he saying here? What he's saying is that children, they're going to make their own choices, and they're going to be responsible for those choices. They're going to answer to God for those choices, whether they trust Christ as their Savior, whether they serve Christ. They are going to answer for their own decisions, not you, parent. You're responsible for yourself as a parent, but what you do for them as far as upbringing them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You have to answer to God for how you parent your kids. But you're not going to answer to God for their decisions. You know, the bottom line is this. I think if your conscience is clear before God as a parent, don't blame yourselves for the mistakes of your children. If they've rebelled and turned against the faith, listen. Take comfort in the fact that you did your best to raise them for Christ. And this is probably the most comforting truth for me. The final chapter of your children's story is not written yet. That brings us back to this very important overall theme that we're talking about, hope for our home. Hope for hurting families. What gives me hope as a father, what gives me hope as a parent, is that their story is not finished. That God is still God. And I can still go to Him. I can still cry out to Him. I can still pray to Him. I can still fast and pray and ask God to do works in the lives of my family members, in the lives of my children. You know, there are many examples of how that God has turned people's hearts. The prodigal son is probably one of the most common in Luke 7 or 15. But the grief of the many godly parents has been multiplied because of misunderstanding of Proverbs 22:6. And so as a result, we see it's caused needless guilt. But number two, it's caused a false sense of hope. for parents to cling to instead of looking to God's grace and the gospel. I know that's a long, wordy sentence, but I want you to think about it. It's important. I put every word there for a reason, because when we look to these, like this proverb, for example, for a promise, that we think, if we have this idea that if we raise our children and nurture and admonition the Lord, it guarantees our kids are going to serve the Lord. If we live by that, we have a false hope. We can't cling to that. We can't cling to what we're doing. We have to cling to God's grace. We have to trust His grace. We have to trust the gospel. We can't depend on our parenting skills. Because I guarantee you, if you've been a parent for very long, you realize you fail. I mean, the best of Christians fail at parenting. We fail daily. We come short because we're sinners. If we are dependent on our parenting skills, we're going to be greatly disappointed one day. We're going to be greatly hurt. And so what I'm trying to do is help you to see that don't put your dependency on your parenting. Put your dependency on God. You know, only the gospel can change your children. Only the gospel can change you. Only Christ can help you as a parent. Christ can give grace and sufficiency. He can give wisdom. He can give strength. He can do the impossible, what we can't do. And so we must be gospel dependent, grace dependent, Christ dependent parents. We have to cry out to God to do what only He can. You know, a lot of people don't like that because they want control. They want to be able to control it. They think, well, if I can just control their behavior, I can control their environment, I can control where they go to school, I can control their daily life, and that I can make sure my kids don't get involved in this evil way of living, or they don't get involved in these destructive sins. That's not going to work. One of the most difficult things that we have to do as parents is place our children in God's hands. And that's why I say, as soon as possible, if you haven't dedicated your children to God, I don't care if they're a teenager, you better dedicate them to God. God, I give them to You. I surrender them to You. I realize that they're not mine. They're a gift, a stewardship. You placed them in my hands as a steward to train them, to teach them. But they're ultimately Yours. It's hard to do that. It's hard to just take our hands off our kids and say, God, they're Yours. Do a work in them. Trusting God for His timing and His will for our children is a hard thing. It's really hard. A lot of parents are hurting because they're waiting for God to do something. Here's another truth. It's the grace factor and the gospel factor that we don't focus on often enough in this whole parenting process. The grace factor, the gospel factor. We don't focus on that very often. We focus on, well, I'm going to tell my kids, I'm going to threaten them even more. I'm going to raise my voice even louder. I'm going to make the consequences even worse. I'm going to manipulate them, make sure that they do this. Listen. You're no match for their sin nature. You're no match for the devil. I guarantee you, you're no match. Don't focus on those things. Focus on grace. Grace is something that it's not just we're saved by grace. Yes, we are saved by grace, undeserved favor, but grace is also enabling. Grace enables us. That's what grace is. It enables us to go through suffering, enables us to do God's will. And we have to depend on God. We have to put our hope in God. We have to put our hope in the gospel. The gospel changes people. The gospel changes hearts. And it's the gospel that takes that stony heart out and puts a heart of flesh in our children. It's not you. It's God. You know, I read this. This is a book, When Good Kids Make Bad Choices, by Elise Fitzpatrick and Jim Neuheiser. They said, you know, the Lord has to pour out just as much grace to save a child from a believing family as he does to save one from a more worldly environment. We need parents to embrace this humbling yet liberating truth. We are not in control of our children's destiny. We are powerless to create faith in our children's hearts. While we can encourage our children to hunger for wisdom's feast, we cannot make that choice for them. Only the sovereign Lord can change our children's hearts. And that's because, as dear as they are to us, our children are sinners by nature. You know, that first sentence I want you to think about, he said that it takes as much grace to save a child from a Christian home, a godly home, a believing parent's home, as it does to save a child in an unbelieving home. It takes the same amount of grace, because all children are sinners. It doesn't matter if they grow up in a Christian home or not. They all need grace. They all need the gospel. And never lose sight of the fact that homeschool children, Christian school children, public school children all need the grace of God. They all need the power of the Holy Spirit. They all need the gospel. Without those things, listen, it's going to fall on deaf ears and hard hearts. So we see that when we misunderstand this principle, this proverb, it produces needless guilt. It also produces a false sense of hope. But thirdly, it can produce foolish pride in the parent who has seen good results. It can cause foolish pride. You know, I've talked to several pastors that have all their children serving the Lord with all their hearts. I said, How did you do it? And you know what I hear? It's the grace of God. I mean, I'm serious. I have yet to hear one that said, oh, because of this system that we have, we do this and this and this and this. Every single one that I've talked to personally have all said, it's because of God's grace. And that is the truth. I remember we had a missionary here a couple of weeks ago, and he shared, third generation missionary, and he shared basically the same thing. That God had just been good to their family. So I want to say this, watch out for parenting pride. Watch out for that. Don't get prideful. If your kids are doing great, praise God for that. Thank God for His grace. Proverbs 14:3. I want to give you some proverbs that talk about pride. It says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. So it's foolish to be prideful, he says there. And then verse chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 18 and 19, it says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So think about this, that pride is something that comes before destruction. You don't want to become prideful about yourself and what you're doing, because it can easily change very quickly. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. So proud heart is what? It's sin. Chapter 6 of Proverbs, it says, of the things that God hates, there are 7 things He hates. One of them is the proud look. I mean, God absolutely hates pride. All forms of pride. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So God resists the proud. If you're a proud parent, he's going to resist you. But those that are humble, he gives grace. He gives grace. You know, we have to come to God. And I believe a lot of times we experience hurt as parents for this reason. God is trying to get rid of some pride in our hearts. Because we're like, man, our kids are so good. I mean, look at how well they behave. And I mean, we've got the best family, the best kids. And I don't know how many times when we go to deputation, we've seen people tell us when we're in the restaurant, man, your kids are so well behaved. We have five of them. We'd be sitting in a restaurant. They're not fighting. They're not throwing food. And I mean, it's because a lot of work. But it's easy to get proud about that. Oh, wow. We're doing something right. But God has a way of humbling us and bringing us to the place where we realize our hope needs to be in Him, not in our kids. Our hope's got to be in the Lord. You know, one of the things I feel like that I was guilty of being a pastor, being a missionary, you have to realize as a missionary, and I'm saying this for your benefit because we have missionaries come here regularly. To love on them, be gracious. Make them feel at home. Don't be judgmental of their kids. But you know, the pressure as a missionary, when I was a missionary, was you're going there to get support. I mean, that's why you're raising support. You need support to get to the field. And so as part of that, your whole family's in the fishbowl. They're watching. They're watching you. They're watching your wife. They're watching your kids. They're watching how you interact with your kids. They're watching everything your kids do. And so we work really hard to make sure our kids were well behaved. And they were, for the most part. I mean, they were. But you know what? Here's what I did wrong. I was so focused on their behavior for my reputation, rather than focus on their hearts and their walk with God. You know, I wish I could have seen it a long, long time ago. But I would tell kids, don't do this, do that. You better not do this when we get in this church. Or else, you know what's going to happen. But why was I doing that? It wasn't because I was wanting them to please God and obey their parents like the scripture said, but it was because I wanted to look good. I wanted to look good as a missionary. Don't be a glory robber. Don't rob God of His glory. If your kids are godly, be careful not to take the credit. Don't point everyone to yourself, what kind of parent you are, but or your system of parenting or whatever, but point them to the Savior. I mean, when people say something about your kids, well, that's just the grace of God. It's just because God is good. It's God is helping us. God has given us grace. You know, these understanding these truths, I really believe will help parents that are hurting. To understand where to place your hope. Because children, they can bring us great sorrow. I mean, they're a great joy, but they can also bring us sorrow. But we have to turn to the Lord. We have to pour our hearts out to Him. As parents, we must set our hearts and hopes on God alone. Set our hearts and hopes on God alone. I don't know if you noticed this, but go back to Psalm 78 real quick. Psalm 78, this is amazing, verse 7 and 8. You know, he says we're to teach them because what? That they might set their hope in God. Every child has to make that choice for themselves. Parents can't make that choice. We can't make that choice for our kids. Our kids have to do that. But we have to do our part, laying the foundation for the grace of God to work, which alone can change them, which alone the grace of God, the gospel, can cause them to put their hope in God. But he says in verse 8, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So what we have here is that there is a previous generation that didn't set their heart aright. They didn't set their hope in God. I read a definition. Our hope is what we are depending on and what we set our heart's desires on as the absolute must-have. What is your hope? What is your heart depending on? What is your heart's desire? Something that's an absolute must-have. For some parents, it's to have perfect, godly children. They're hoping in that. But listen, you're going to get hurt if that's your hope. Or it may be you have a hope your children be successful in the world. I don't know what it is, what your hope is, but listen, we must set our hearts and our hopes on God alone. He alone should be our heart's desire. We must set our heart aright. We must set our heart on God as parents. That's the best chance we have for our kids setting their hope on God or in God. When they see mom and dad humble, when they see mom and dad crying in prayer to God for a need, trusting God, when they see mom and dad confess, "Oh, I'm sorry that I said what I said. I'm sorry I got angry." When they see genuine transparency, they see God working in mom and dad's life, that God is a real person, that God is someone worthy, God is loved by my mom and dad. It's going to help your kids want to love God as well. You know, parenting is messy, and it hurts. But if we set our hearts and hopes on God alone, that He alone will help us, that He will walk with us through this thing. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it tells us that I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. Just to remember as parents, He's walking with us through this time. If it's a hard time, our kids are just seem like they're just being rebellious. They're not cooperating and we're struggling with it. We're getting irritated. We're getting in the flesh because of our children. That's when you need to go to God for grace. Humble yourself, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, our theme verse for this series, Psalm 31:10, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. He's going to strengthen whose heart? All ye that hope in the Lord. I tell you what, parenting will take the courage out of you. It will. It will right out take out all your courage, and you're like, "Oh, I'm done." But listen, hope in God. Hope in the God. Set your heart on God. I want to ask you a question this morning as we wrap this up. Are you laying the proper foundation for your kids? Only you can answer that, parents. Are you laying the proper foundation? Are you being a model disciple of Jesus, following, pursuing Jesus with all your heart? Are you loving Jesus with all your heart? Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you faithful in church? Are you leading your kids to make God a priority in their life? Are you seeking God with all your heart? Are you seeking Him first? I mean, that's a good thing to ask. Are you laying the proper foundation? But another question, are you hoping in the grace of God or in your amazing parenting skills? Where's your hope? What are you trusting? You know, we need to do our part, lay a foundation, but at the same time, we have to rely on God. We have to depend on God's grace to help us. I want you to imagine this morning if we would all, who are parents, would lay that foundation like Psalm 78 tells us to do. To not hide these things from our children, but showing them. Not just saying and teaching, but showing them. He says, showing them what? The praises of the Lord. What is that? The beauty of the Lord. All the greatness of who He is and all of His beautiful attributes and that makes Him worthy of our adoration and our service. Are we showing our kids the praises of the Lord and His strength? Are you showing your kids His strength? Are they seeing that you go to God for strength and not try to do it yourself? Are you showing your God His or your children His wonderful works that He had done? Are you showing them? Are you pointing those things out? You and God blesses your family. Are you just taking it for granted? Or are you saying, hey kids, listen, God did this. God did this. I remember a couple of years ago, my oldest daughter, she had a need. A car was broke down. And you know, I tell you, you never stop being a parent. And so she calls her daddy, and so I go over there to help her. And so we find a mechanic, and I prayed about this. I didn't just randomly go find somebody. I prayed, and the Lord led me to this man that was a member of Caprock Baptist Church in Amarillo, and he had a shop, Mike Propes, and he used to go to church here years and years ago. They lived in Dumas, and that just blew me away when I met him, and he told me all of his story, and so I told him about our problem, and he helped us out, and took care of a need. And when we left, I told my daughter, I said, see what God just did? He did that for you. You know, that's what we should be doing to our kids. Show them the wonderful works of the Lord. A godly home does not guarantee godly kids. But a godly home can lay the foundation for the grace of God that alone can produce godly children. Let's pray. Father, I am so grateful for all that You have shown me as a parent, as a father. It's not been an easy journey. Times it's been heartbreaking. Times it's been hard. Times it's feelings of failure. Times that there's been bitterness against You and against my children. But Lord, You've been gracious and forgiving, helping me to see through all these things and helping me to be able to grow in my own spiritual life and to realize that I'd set my hope in the wrong things. That I was trusting a proverb to be a promise. I was trusting my own parenting to bring and produce results that I wanted. Not realizing that You were trying to show me that I needed to depend on You. I needed to look to You. God, I pray that this message this morning will help those that are parents. Maybe some that are hurting today. Lord, that we would put our hope in You. You alone can help us and give us grace. You alone can save our children and give them eternal life. You alone can change their hearts. we're utterly dependent on you. And Lord, having said that, there may be someone here that's not a parent, but someone here who's lost. Someone here who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Someone here who is a prodigal that has gone away from the Father in heaven, that's in that far country. And you have brought them to understand their need of you. Lord, I pray this morning that they would look to Jesus today, that they would come to him and trust him, that they would come home to the Father who's waiting with open arms, who's ready and willing to forgive, who's ready to restore. Oh God, thank you for your great mercy, your great grace towards us. Lord, you can save the worst of sinners today that would come to Jesus and trust what he did for them on the cross, shedding his blood for their sins, rising again in victory from the grave, who's a living Savior today. Lord, may they come today to trust Christ and call upon his name for salvation. Lord, for those that are your children that are saved and maybe they've strayed away, maybe there's someone here, a Christian, that's wayward, a wayward child of God. Lord, maybe today you spoke to them about their need to come back to you and fellowship with you. Lord, this is a wonderful opportunity for that. Lord, I pray that today they would do that, that they would come home. And for the parents here today, I pray for them, that you would help them to understand these principles, these truths, so that they would place their hope in you alone. That they would look to the gospel, look for your grace to help in this daunting task of parenting kids in an evil and wicked culture. God, please help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.